Hey, 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 hey. Greetings from upstate New York. It's the Duke Meister. Welcome to the Pastor Duke Podcast. It is pure joy for me to bring the Word of God to you. It's what I live for, and I'm willing to die for that as well. Today may be the most important podcast I will ever do. I do it with a heavy heart before man. I do it with a joyful heart before God. I'm speaking on the topic today of civil disobedience. I'm remembering when the apostles were arrested, beaten, and forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus. They went on their way rejoicing, counted a privilege to suffer for his name's sake. I'm afraid days like that are looming in our near future. I hope I am wrong. What did they do? They ceased not to preach and teach Jesus. When they were rearrested, what did they say? We must obey God rather than man. Guess what, gang? We're back. What went around came around. Some big choices are now rising in our faces. I want to lay down a clear biblical foundation simply on the topic of obedience to authorities. It's in the Bible. It's not popular. Never has been, never will be. But for those of us who love the Lord Jesus, this is of huge importance. This is bedrock. This is our foundation. God is the big boss, not man, but the holy boss. The Lord God Almighty has laid down patterns for human authority where imperfect human beings are in authority. Husbands in the homes, parents over children, masters above servants, bosses over employees, government officials over the populace, church elders over church members. Godly Christ followers take biblical authority very respectfully, very seriously, following in obedience the words of Jesus, rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but that holy balance, but unto God the things that are God's. Sometimes it's kind of like that clutch and gas pedal, you know, kind of finding that balance, and we're kind of on a hill, and complications are upon us. I find it extremely interesting that each time God speaks about authorities, he speaks first to those who are under authority, who seem to have the greater power. Those that are in authority, that's it. Those under it obey or disobey. They have the power. He speaks to those who are in authority. They have responsibilities as well. There's actually a larger accountability on those who are in authority. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Masters, rule well, be kind and respectful to your servants. Elders, rule well. You must give an account. You must set an example. Biblical authority is a two-way street. Accountability for those under authority to obey and those in authority to walk in accordance with guidelines for them as well. Our focus today, of course, is on civil authorities. As believers, we have a holy Bible. As Americans, we have a Constitution for which I'm thankful of. The writers of the Constitution used biblical principles to put that thing together, and I do not hold it in the same esteem as the Bible, not even close, but I am very thankful for it. We the people, all those who are in authority here in our country, government authorities, in order to be in that authority, must place their left hand upon the Bible, interesting, raise their right hand, and promise to uphold the Constitution. It's their oath. It's their contract with we the people. When they violate the Constitution, they break their oath and are now liable. The law says that they should be removed from office. Presidents, governors, Congress are under the same authority, same Constitution, and they are responsible to the populace to uphold that. If courts do not uphold and enforce the Constitution, the nation is now up for a power grab, and that's exactly where things seem to be for me, and I'm hoping, again, that I'm wrong. If the courts don't make it happen, it's a power grab now. That's what I think is happening in the social media, mandated with the Democratic Party and a good portion of the Republican Party, to have a narrative, to enforce a narrative, which I believe is a globalist movement to move America, as all nations will ultimately land in a new world order headed up by the infamous Antichrist. And so I think all of this is a historic, prophetic, providential movement, a battle between God and Satan, and we are in the midst of it. Lord, open our eyes to see. May we face these things with a love for Jesus, but wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now I want to tackle the topic of civil disobedience biblically, number two, historically, and then number three, make application for our present time. First and foremost, biblically. Man, it's all through Scripture. Civil disobedience. The Egyptian midwives defied Pharaoh's mandate to kill Jewish baby boys. They were right, Pharaoh was wrong, and God blessed the midwives. Rahab the harlot defied Jericho civil orders to find, capture the Jewish spies. She defied those orders. She delivered those spies to safety. God not only saved her and her family, but placed her in the very lineage of the coming Jewish Messiah. I think God made a statement about Rahab. Number three, Daniel defied Babylonian dietary laws, and God blessed him with health, high favor with Nebuchadnezzar, and he became a high government official. Later, his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego defied the king in not bending to worship the golden image, and God blessed them as they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar looks in and says, I threw in three, but I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. The Lord was with them. There wasn't even a hair on their head that was singed. They didn't even smell like a fire when they came out, and Nebuchadnezzar immediately gave them higher rank and greater authority within the kingdom. Later, Daniel was tested again as decree had been signed by the new Persian leadership of the world. You can't worship any god but ours. And Daniel, again, civilly disobeyed, continued to worship his god, opening the windows so all could see. And he was arrested, and the king knew he was innocent. The king knew he was set up. He was thrown in the lions' dens. But the lions turned into kittens that night. And Daniel was fine. The king delivered him in the morning. The next morning, the lions were hungry again. And those who tried to frame Daniel wrongfully, they were thrown to the lions. And the lions were hungry. And the rest is history. The apostles civilly disobeyed mandates to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. God bless them. They ultimately turned the world upside down. And because of their fervency to spread the gospel, it ultimately came to you and I, and may we have the same spirit, willing to be civilly disobedient only when necessary, but to do so when it is necessary, so we too can turn our world upside down in the last days. Every sermon the prophet Jeremiah preached was civilly disobedient in the eyes of the king. He was arrested numerous times, put into a prison. The king would look both ways, sneak in. Is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah's like, you don't want to hear it because God doesn't change. Just repent. Give your life to God. And the king never did that. He went to jail. Jeremiah was in jail, but the Lord was with him. And when the kingdom did fall to Babylon, the Babylonians had favor upon Jeremiah, and he lived out his days in peace and comfort. Number seven, biblically, still to come in Scripture, Revelation 13, which looms coming ahead not too far down the road, when only those who civilly disobey the Antichrist and reject the mark of the beast will be saved. And so I think what's happening now is a forerunner of what's going to happen then in Revelation 13. And so I want to look at civil disobedience historically. This is kind of, we're going to like this together. In U.S. history, there was the Underground Railroad saving black slaves who had escaped their masters in the South. It was civil disobedience, but God blessed it. God was in it. If I lived in those days, I would hope that I would be part of the Underground Railroad. Next, Rosa Parks, a national hero. She was right. The law was wrong. Next, women's suffrage movement. They were right. The laws were wrong. They won. God blessed. Martin Luther King, a national hero. He was right. The law was wrong. God blessed MLK. I believe he would take the BLM leaders out behind a woodshed and whoop their butts. They stand against everything that he stood for. BLM leaders got rich bastardizing a sacred movement of civil rights. Martin Luther King gave his life. King said, "Judge not a man by the color of his skin, but by the conduct of his character." And the burning and looting of a nation is of the devil. It is not from God. It is not civil, and it is not obedient. Thank God for Martin Luther King, a national hero, and his civil disobedience and his love for God and people. Next, the resistant movement in Europe. At the time of Nazism, Europe was right and the Nazis were wrong. God blessed the resistance movement. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, national hero in Germany, civilly disobeyed Hitler and paid for it, of course, with his life. 17 Chinese students, whose names we probably will never know, defied the Communist Chinese Party at Tiananmen Square. They died. They paid with their lives. They were right. The Communist Chinese government was wrong. And the government will pay one day when the Lord returns. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that injustice will be paid for as those who made those decisions to kill those innocent people, not just at Tiananmen Square, but all through history, through the Mao Revolution, the Communist Revolution in Soviet Union and Laos, Cambodia, all those nations, Vietnam, they'll all pay in eternity. Every home church in China, every home church in the Soviet Union, and every home church in Islamic republics is civil disobedience, and God continues to bless them. Every Bible smuggled into closed countries is blessed of God. People putting the gospel ahead of their own safety and prosperity. Every martyr of the church paid with their lives in civil disobedience to corrupt, demonically inspired, tyrannical governments. They have special crowns in glory according to the word of God. All of them heroes who chose obedience to God over obedience to corrupt men. Let me say that again, corrupt men. Now I want to switch gears. You know, Satan loves to muddy the waters. He loves to divide Christ's church. Something happened to me about 8 years ago. My cousin was visiting from California. He's a history buff, so am I. I took him to the Saratoga National Revolutionary War battlefield, which is about 20 minutes north of me. We're going to the different sites on the loop. We're stopping. You push the button, and the voices of the people who lived there, the people who fought there, speak. It's obviously not their voice, but it's their words in writing that are being read by other people. We're at a farmhouse, and it's a farmhouse of a patriot, and he's giving his view of what's going on, and he's praying for divine providence that we can overthrow this tyrannical British government and the rights of the people. And he is a patriot, and that's all I know, and I'm with him, and I'm thinking, man, yeah, this is my man, I'm a patriot. And then I go to the next farm, push the button, and the guy was a loyalist. This guy quoted scripture, rendering unto Caesar. For him, Caesar was King James, I think the third in England, and people for 1,500 years believed in the divine right of kings, you know, submitting yourselves to those that are in authority over you. the loyalists loved the Lord Jesus just as much as the patriot did. And I'm standing there and I was embarrassed because here I am, a preacher for many years, and I never thought of that. And I began to realize that sometimes things get a little cloudy. You know, the loyalists love the Lord, and the patriots love the Lord, and it was a mess. It was one against the other, and it couldn't be both ways. I encountered that again at the old First Church in Boston doing a Baptist Bible Fellowship national meeting. We rented the hall, and they had characters in dress from the time of the Revolution that were reenactments, if you please, and with the actual scripts of what the pastor of the church said during the time of the Revolution. He was in a quandary. He spoke to we pastors in our day of the quandary he was in his day, how that in his congregation, even on his church board of elders, he had some that were loyal to the throne and others that were patriots. And it was a thing that was very complicated for them, probably more complicated for them than it is for us. But Satan just likes to muddy the waters, and that's when I think we have to bow to the major Christian doctrine of the priesthood of the believer. I'm going to do my next podcast on that topic, the priesthood of the believer, where each of us consider these things and ask God for wisdom. Let each man be convinced in his own mind. And Satan has muddied the waters throughout history. He has done it again through the COVID-19 scenario. Most of that's kind of behind us. New light comes in about the truth about the virus, its source. Was it a pandemic? Was it a plandemic? Why are the people who encourage medicines, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine to be used to help cure the disease? Why are those people banned? Why are they silenced? Why are they fired? Why would you ever fight a cure for disease unless something's happening backstage when they don't really care about who the disease takes out or doesn't? It seems to me it's all a push towards a vaccine. I want to talk about that just for a couple minutes now. I believe the divine providence, as I look back on that historical moment, divine providence was upon the patriots. I think that would be played out because I think the corruption of King James and England, it was unrighteous laws that they were trying to push upon the American people. And the American people looked to the Lord as their source. They were choosing a new government that would be compliant to biblical freedom, right of assembly, freedom of speech, the right to bear arms. I think they had right things in their heart. I don't think it was evil defying the king so they could be rich and just live a life of debauchery. But I think history would prove that divine providence was upon the patriot movement, which is interesting. 150 or so years later, the patriots come to rescue the mother country, England, in World War II from the tyranny of Nazism and Adolf Hitler. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? How God raises up nations for a purpose, and he puts down nations for a purpose. So now I want to move to the summer of 2021. After a year and a half lockdown here in the Soviet Republic of New York, Andrew Cuomo, my governor, who put COVID-19 infected patients back into the rest homes where thousands of them, I believe it's 11,000 to 13,000 died. But the thing that's really, really burns me up and many New Yorkers is he covered up the death of 6,000. That's all in the courts even as we speak. And I just pray God's will be done on all that. But that's what's been in our face. Churches shut down for months. We masked up. We gloved up. We socially distanced. We shut down our churches. They were not essential. But the liquor stores, of course, stayed open because they were deemed by the government authorities as essential. Complications arose for church leaders. Obey God and meet, or obey government and stay home. That was a tough one. But we found a way to go virtual, so we still get the word of God out and still get the word of God in the hearts of people, which was better than nothing, but it was awkward. I remember staying home, tuning in church online. I remember speaking for other churches online, and it was so weird. It's better than nothing, but you just didn't feel exactly right, but you didn't feel exactly right if you were to defy that. It was just complicated. But we complied. We masked up. We stayed home to save lives. See, Satan is so clever how he frames the narrative. Governors, many governors, went beyond their constitutional rights to mandate laws and lockdowns, and the pushbacks began to rumble. It's interesting. Hindsight's always clearer than foresight. But the Republican states that kind of eased up quicker and had lesser controls deemed far better in reference to the COVID mess. Lots of new information comes out through the months. We find out there was a lot of misinformation filling the mainstream media airwaves. People did not know what to believe or who to believe. Divisions grew. Emotions were passionate with our elderly dying in rest homes alone. Family members couldn't even come in to be with them. Censorship took over all the social media networks. The mainstream media narrative created fact checkers. One day the fact checkers will stand before the ultimate fact checker. And they silenced the voice of any dissenter. That's when I knew this is the work of the devil. The First Amendment is now on life support. Historic constitutional rights of assembly, rights of worship, freedom of speech were waived, all for the great cause of saving people from the COVID-19 virus. I called it in April 2020 that there would be a huge push by the mainstream media to make the warp speed untested vaccines mandatory. I do not care where somebody stands on the vaccine issue. My issue is the mandate part of what's in our face today. Let each be convinced in their own mind. I have godly friends, pastor friends, who choose to take the vaccine because they believe it's best for them. I have friends and family who will not take the vaccine because, for the same reason, they think it's best for them. So let everybody be convinced in their own mind. My issue is the mandate, which violates all 10 points of the Nuremberg Code. It violates the Hippocratic Oath. It violates all historic American medical practices. But Satan is clever, knowing he cannot make this happen as a government mandate. So he subtly works through business, social media, to put pressure on to vaccinate, or you'll lose your job. Your kid can't go to college. Your kids can't go to school. And who knows where this will all go. All for a virus, turns out, whose kill rate is about 1 in 1,000. Except, of course, for the elderly and those who have one or more comorbidities. Whose medical, the medical cures, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, hidden, silenced, banned, and mocked. When have you ever heard of anything like that? Do you smell the devil here? Many of us fear that the vaccines are only the start of human population control. We've listened to Dr. Fauci. We've listened to Bill Gates. We listen to the World Health Organization. We go to their webpage. We know what they're saying. We know their goal of bringing human population drastically down is in play. We fear that the vaccines are part of that movement. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Powerful people with lots of money having a program to depopulate the planet. That's what you see happen in Revelation 6 through 19. A huge global population. Is God going to use this vaccine movement that they're dreaming up, concocting to make it happen? I don't know. Will these be just direct judgments of God in Revelation 6 through 19? It seems that way to me. I don't know. I don't really... I shouldn't say I don't care, but I'm not going to be here for it. Jesus comes, Revelation 4, verse 1, come up hither. I'm in the heavenly scene. The Antichrist can't come till the church goes. So I'm concerned about those that aren't ready to meet the Lord. That's the closing of the message here today. But pressure is on with this vaccine. Some of us think that the vaccine is a segue to something more devious, to more vaccines, for ultimate human population control, where it will all end in complete tyrannical control, everything mandated Revelation 13 with the mark of the beast. You can't buy, you can't sell anything. If you take the mark, you go to hell. And that the technology for that is here now. The cashless society is here now. The coming economic world economic forum is planning an economic reset now. It's all here. Jesus could come soon. That's good news. People say, what do you think about the Biden administration? I think the Biden administration is hastening the day of the Lord, and that's good. But the things that are happening is in hastening of the day of the Lord, I think, are not good. And so I'll leave that in the hands of the sovereign God who raises up and puts down nations, whose timing is perfect. In the fullness of time, a virgin brought forth her firstborn son. And that was perfect timing. And nobody knows the day or the hour but my Father only. But when he comes back the next time, that'll be perfect timing. So I'm not unrestful about all this stuff. I'm kind of excited about it. Perhaps you can tell by my voice. It's interesting now. Many of us do fear that the vaccines are only the start of human population control. Many don't feel the need for any vaccine, as the COVID-19 virus, only a kill rate of 1 in 1,000. Millions of us, including me, have had COVID-19. We have the antibody. And last week, I love this, the Cleveland Clinic says that we who've had COVID do not need the vaccine. We are safe for ourselves, and we cannot spread the COVID-19 virus to anyone else. I like that report, but that won't be on the mainstream media. You'll have to go to their webpage to get that, of course. Pressure is on for vax compliance. My issue is not who has or hasn't gotten the jab. My issue is choice. You know, those on the liberal side, in reference to the abortion issue, you know, my body, my choice. They're not saying that on this one. No, it's your body, our choice, which is hypocritical. I am civilly obedient to pay my taxes, often which they're used to kill innocent babies, and I hate that, but I'm compliant. I pay my taxes. I do not cheat. I'm civilly obedient to traffic rules, many of which I do not like. I do take an extra 5 or 8, maybe even 10 miles an hour, and because I've been told by highway patrolmen that are my friends that say that we won't mess with you if you're less than 10 miles an hour under, or anyway, forget about that. I shouldn't have brought that up. But I am civilly obedient to traffic laws. I did not burn my draft card as an 18-year-old kid. Number 63 was my draft number. Very well could have gone to Vietnam, but it ended just before I had to make that choice. But I did not burn my draft card. I would have gone to serve my country even in a war that I did not really believe in. I obey hospital rules when I visit. I obey a civic arena rules when I go to sporting events, where to seat. I follow people flow things, stay in the line, follow the arrows. I even obey chivalry rules, which are not binding, but I open doors for women, not because I think I'm better than them. I just thought that way. I think it's right. I don't believe in equal rights for women. I believe in superior rights for women. I open doors for them. I let them go first. I give up my seat on the bus or on the train, and I'm just the way I am, and I don't apologize for that. I obey all earthly authorities, but when they are dead dog wrong, when they violate my constitutional rights, the government and all its enforcers are wrong, along with the apostles. I choose to obey God rather than man. And I'm doing this podcast, closing this out, asking for prayer for parents. I have children with children. I have grandkids who are facing some rougher days than I ever faced, tougher choices than I ever had to choose. Let's pray for parents to make right decisions. Let's pray for unity in the church. Let's give respect to one another concerning the mask thing's pretty much over now, but concerning the vax, let's lay low on that. Let everybody be convinced in their own mind. Let's not lord over like we're better than somebody if we've been vaccinated, or somebody who chooses not to be vaccinated that they're lesser person, or those who choose not to be vaccinated that you are a higher authority or a higher honor or closer to God. That's silly. That's sinful. Let everybody be convinced in their own mind. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. I don't even bring the topic up to people. People often bring it up to me. And then the first thing I say is, wherever you land on this, I love you. I'll give you the information that I have. You give me the information you have. We'll pray to God for wisdom on this. But I've kind of landed here. The government tells me to shut down, to stay home, to save lives, stop assembling in the name of Jesus. I think I'm going to civilly disobey. They tell you got to do this, you got to do that with a max or a vax. That's really, according to Nuremberg Code, it's none of their business. According to the U.S. Constitution, American Historic Medical Rules, it's none of their business. And so it's interesting. I've been in the hospital. I've been in the clinics two or three times with the kidney stone issues I just got through a few weeks ago. Nobody asked me. I thought that was pretty cool. I did have three hospital workers look me and kind of, they knew I was a pastor and they kind of wondered what I thought on these things. They looked both ways and kind of whispered to me. I took the vaccine. I didn't want to, but I was afraid I'd lose my job if I didn't. They felt pressure and then they said they wish they hadn't. They were a little bit fearful. I thought that was sad. That the government would be so evil and conditions would be so evil to force something upon people. And of course, Satan always frames it up. Oh, it's for the good of others. And man, if I believe for 1 second, whatever I believe that will be good for others, man, I'm in, I'll do that. But I'm in a spiritual battle. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I wrestle against Satan. He's the prince of darkness. He's a liar, a murderer from the beginning. I don't trust him. I've read the Bible through 149 times, and I'm just a little uncomfortable with what I see happening in the world today. But the good news is this. We're on the winning team in Jesus. He's coming back. We go home. We win. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. It's not going to matter where we stood on masks or no masks. It's not going to matter where we stood on vax or no vax. What's going to matter is, did we love Jesus? Did we love others? Did we lift his name? Let's just worship our way through. Let's just keep our hand to the plow. Let's just stay on mission. Let's just stay in the word. And let's be those bright and shining lights. Obedient to God above man. But rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's, and knowing the difference. God bless you. Love you. Hope this is a blessing. Share it with your friends. Bye for now.